Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds, and welcome to another episode of The Dictionary, hosted by me, Spencer. This is episode F29, and I would like to invite you to find me on the social media, follow me, comment on my very few posts, email me if you have anything to say, dictionarypod@gmail.com. Go ahead and call the Google Voice number 917-727-5757. Leave a voicemail with whatever you gotta say, and I will not definitely put it in an episode, but if it's fine, I will. If you don't want it to be you, just tell me that. And if it's just for me, that's great. Okay, the first word in this episode, filled with words that I do not know, is farad, or just farid, F-A-R-A-D. Never heard of this one. It is a noun from 1873, farad. It is the unit of capacitance equal to the capacitance of a capacitator. No, a capacitor. Of a capacitor between whose plates there appears a potential of 1 volt when it is charged by 1 coulomb of electricity. This word is from Michael Faraday, and I have heard of Michael Faraday, and we're going to actually, in the next word, get more Faraday information, but doesn't say who Michael Faraday was. It seems like it should say that they were somebody who, with this job from this country, who died in this year, but it doesn't say any of that. But this farad, can you imagine having something named after you just probably forever, many, many years? Well, it's from 1873, so Michael Faraday must have been living in the 19th century. The unit of capacitance equal to the capacitance of a capacitor between whose plates there appears a potential of 1 volt when it is charged by 1 coulomb of electricity, and I don't understand what any of that stuff means, so I'm going to put a link in the show notes. Link in the show notes, link in the show notes, go check the link, and then read the notes. Okay, I think that is it for that one, so now, oh, I need to make a sound effect. Well, because we were doing an electricity thing, let's go zzz. The next word is Faraday. You can say Faraday, Faraday, Faraday. This is a noun from 1904, and it is the quantity of electricity transferred in electrolysis per equivalent weight of an element or ion equal to about 96.500 coulombs. Again, I don't know what we are talking about. Again, it is named after Michael Faraday, of course. Now, I have heard of a Faraday cage. I have seen that mentioned in popular media and maybe other stuff. The first one I can think of was that show. Was this the remake of the show with the Robinsons? What was it called? I can't remember. It was about a family who go onto another planet and they're stranded. Anyway, I believe in like one of the first episodes, they were in their like car vehicle thing and it was hanging off of a cliff and there was this like electricity bolts that were coming through and they were like, ooh, if we close the door and get in the vehicle, it'll act as a Faraday cage and we won't be electrocuted and that would be great news for us not being electrocuted. And so they did that. And I've heard it a lot of other places, but it's something to do with the metal container gets electrocuted, but the stuff inside is fine or something. I don't know. Let's put a link again in the show notes. We already said this for Michael Faraday and all the stuff that he did. Okay. Next. Is this related? It might be. It's the word faradic. Faradic. D-I-C or D-A-I-C, and that would be Faradaic. You could say that one too. It's an adjective from 1875 of or relating to an asymmetric alternating current of electricity produced by an induction coil. As in the example, Faradic or Faradaic stimulation of the muscles. I think we have two forms of this word because if you take his name, Faraday, and you make it this adjective by putting the IC at the end of it, you can't say just because of the way English works and the rules, quote unquote, the rules, then it would be Faradic. But typically, the way we emphasize the syllables when we have this IC at the end, you'd have to say Faradic. But then people were probably like, but that's not how his name is pronounced. And so then that's probably why they changed it to Faradaic. Like, oh, we still get the we have to add that extra syllable, so we still get the right pronunciation of his name, but we also get the IC at the end to make it an adjective. Faradaic. Seems better, I guess. Okay. Anything else about that one? No, I don't understand it. I'm so sorry. I don't understand it. Next is Far and Away. Three words. That's the name of a movie that I saw a very long time ago. It's an adverb from 1852. By a considerable margin, as in, was far and away the better team. In the previous episode, which I recorded about 15 minutes ago or so, 20 minutes ago, we had by far. That was one of the phrases and some other stuff kind of like that. So similar idea. Far and away. This is far and away the very best podcast. There are no other podcasts that reach its level of quality. Obviously. Far and away. I don't know if that's a real song. Next we have Farandole. 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 Noun from 1863. Number one, a lively provincial. No, it's how do you say this word? Provençal? I need the pronunciation of this word. Stand by. Provençal pronunciation. It's got the little squiggle under the C. Provençal. Oh, yes. There we go. Provençal. That makes sense. Because it's French. That makes sense because it's French. Okay, so back to the farandole. It is a lively Provençal dance in which men and women hold hands, form a chain, and follow a leader through a serpentine course. Well, this is almost like a conga dance, except in a conga dance, you're holding the person's waist or shoulders in front of you. But in this case, we're holding hands. How? So is it like you're going sideways? You're holding hands that way, and then the leader takes you around? Okay, maybe. Number two for the farandole dance. It is music in sextuple time for a farandole. Sextuple time, I think, would be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, bop, 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 bop. Probably that. Yes, that's what it is, the farandole. And I don't know what Provençal means. It's some type of Frenchy thing, I guess. The name farandole is French, from the Occitan farandulo, but that's all it says. It doesn't say how that translates into English, none of that, so I don't understand what it is. Maybe it's just a word that they made up specifically for this dance and the music. Maybe we should put a link in the show notes for a farandole dance. I'm sure we can find one on the YouTube. Next is far and wide. Adverb from before the 12th century. It means in every direction, all the places, 360 in a 3D manner. The synonym is everywhere, and the example is searched far and wide. Well, you probably did not search everywhere, because that is physically impossible, but you searched everywhere that you could, far and wide. We're equidistant in our people. Our people were equidistantly spaced, and we went very far. We didn't search near and narrow. That's not a good way to search, near and narrow. You have to search far and wide for the missing person. Zzz. Far away. Adjective from 1735. This is one word. Far away. Number one, line at a great distance. The synonym is remote, as in the example, faraway lands. Those lands are so far away, I can't even see them. They're remote. They're not by any cities. I want to go visit the faraway lands so I can see some stuff that I haven't seen before and learn about the people who were there and maybe learn about myself. Number two, the synonyms are dreamy and abstracted, as in a faraway look in her eyes. She's just looking far off into the distance, searching far and wide for those dreamy, abstract thoughts. Farce is next. F-A-R-C-E. First form, transitive verb from the 14th century. Number one, the synonym is stuff. Just stuff. Where's my stuff? I want my stuff. Farce is stuff? Okay, number two. To improve, as if by stuffing. Okay, this has gotten much more interesting. What is happening with this farce stuff stuff? Well, the etymology doesn't say. So that's very disappointing. I am quite sad by that. To improve as if by stuffing, what would you be improving with stuffing? Are we stuffing a turkey? Are we stuffing a scarecrow? Are we stuffing our mouth with food? That would improve my happiness when I stuff my mouth with food. Farce. I have no concept of this one whatsoever, and I need more context to understand the concept. The second form of farce is a noun from the 14th century? Number one. Okay, here we go. We're getting it. It's happening. A savory stuffing. Okay, the synonym is forcemeat. I've never heard of this. Forcemeat. So forcemeat became farce, which is a stuffing that is savory. It's not a sweet stuffing. It's a savory stuffing. Probably has meat in it, or with the name forcemeat makes me think is that you are forcing the stuffing into the meat, the butthole of the turkey. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm learning stuff today. Number two, a light dramatic composition marked by broadly satirical comedy and improbable plot. Let's look up an example of a farce movie, I guess. Example farce. That's not how you movie. I know. Let's see. Oh, yes, of course. Here we go. Mel Brooks. The example here right off the bat is notable examples of farces range from film spoofs such as Mel Brooks's Spaceballs, a farcical take on Star Wars, and then all the way to Shakespeare's classic comedy, The Comedy of Errors. And I've never seen that before. These and many other farces use miscommunication, exaggeration, and absurdity to accomplish their primary goal of making audiences laugh. I have a hard time with this miscommunication thing. I always get very uncomfortable when I see a movie or maybe a sitcom and there's all this miscommunication and I'm like, oh, it's so uncomfortable. But the absurdity and exaggeration, I like that. Spaceballs is very stupid and I like it. Other examples. Let's see, farces are a type of comedy that uses exaggerated situations, physical humor, and absurdity to make audiences laugh. Here are some examples of farces in movies. The Grand Budapest Hotel, Zoolander, Burn After Reading. The Taming of the Shrew, also by Shakespeare, I guess would be considered a farce. Now, what's the difference between just a comedy and a farce? Well, the definition said a savory stuffing. No, that was the other one. Light dramatic composition marked by broadly satirical. So it has to be satirical, I guess. You've got to be satiring something. Here are other examples. Here's a website. I've never seen this website. Flickchart.com. The best farces of all time. I guess they're just based on ratings. Duck Soup by the Marx Brothers. To Be or Not to Be from 1942. Some Like It Hot from 1959. Arsenic and Old Lace from 1944. I have seen Some Like It Hot. I don't think I've seen these other ones. A Night at the Opera, 1935. Also the Marx Brothers. The Producers, Mel Brooks, 1968. That was, I think, his first one, wasn't it? The Hangover. That's a farce? A Fish Called Wanda, fantastic. Monty Python and the Meaning of Life, awesome. National Lampoon's Vacation, I don't know that one as well as Christmas Vacation. I guess it's farcing what? The vacation movies?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A Shot in the Dark. Peter Sellers. Is that the Pink Panther, the first Pink Panther one? I don't remember. Monkey Business. Another Marx Brothers. Christmas Vacation, Something About Mary. It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Never saw that one. The list goes on. Wow, there, yes. Interesting blend of films there. I like the idea. I like satirizing something, making fun of a thing. So yes, I guess I like farces. Stuffings and stuff. Number three is the broad humor characteristic of farce. The humor of that is farce. Number four, an empty or patently ridiculous act, proceeding, or situation, as in the trial became a farce. Oh, it's just so ridiculous, so stupid. Why are we even doing this if it's a farce? It might as well be watching a movie. Let's see. The etymology. Maybe there's more etymology here than in the previous one. This is from Middle English farce, Middle French farce, Vulgar Latin farsa. Latin farsa is the Latin. It's the feminine of farsus, which is from the verb facere or facere, but it doesn't say what that means. And I don't understand how... Well, I don't know. Maybe there's not a connection. I was going to say... Well, first of all, I don't understand what facere means compared to this comedy thing. Maybe there isn't even a connection, but there must be. Maybe there isn't even a connection, but there must be. But then this stuffing thing, I mean, I guess maybe it has to do with forcing the meat in and then it became farce, and I don't know. That's my best guess. But facere or facere, however they say it, we got to look it up. We got to look it up. Look it up. Latin farcere, meaning, yes, please. Oh, this just got more interesting. It means to stuff. To stuff. Push it in. Well, then how did the whole comedy thing come about? Is it because you were stuffing it full of silliness? I don't know. If you know, let me know. Zzz. Next is farceur. F-A-R-C-E-U-R. Noun from 1781. Number one, the synonyms are joker and wag. What is a wag? Somebody who makes jokes? Number two, a writer or actor of farce. So Mel Brooks would be a farceur. And here we go. Okay, now we're getting it. Why didn't we have this before? Okay, so this farceur is French, and it's from their word farceur, which means to joke. That's all it means. To make a joke, make a funny ha 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 ha. So that's what it is. Just making jokes. I would like to be a farceur because I'm a jokester all the time. Not all the time. Zzz. Next is farci. Emphasize the second syllable, farci, F-A-R-C-I, or you can put an E at the very end. It is an adjective from 1903, and it means stuffed, especially with forcemeat, as in the example, oysters farci. Whoa. So the oysters are stuffed with forcemeat. What is forcemeat? Yep. Fascinating, strange, weird stuff. I don't know. Sometimes you get the name like duck à l'orange. It's a duck cooked with an orange sauce. So this is oysters farci. Means it's stuffed. I'm not aware of this one because I don't eat fancy foods. And most of the fancy foods are meat, and I don't eat the meat. Zzz. Next is farcical. Adjective from 1710. One of, relating to, or resembling farce. And the synonym is ludicrous. And in a Mel Brooks movie, specifically the one that we mentioned, Spaceballs, they take their ship to ludicrous speed. We've gone plaid! I want to go ludicrous speed. Number two, for farcical, laughably inept. And the synonym is absurd. You are so bad at that task of washing dishes. It's farcical. I'm laughing at how bad you are at that. It's almost as if you are making a movie of washing dishes that is a satire political statement on fascism. Farcicality is a noun, and farcically is an adverb. Far cry, two words, noun from 1817. Number one, a long distance. You're a far cry from home, little lady. You're so far away from where you grew up. What are you doing all the way over here? I don't know why that happened. Number two, something notably different, as in the effects of the new law were a far cry from what was intended. That is not what we meant to do at all. That's a far cry. Now, there is no etymology, and I feel like we could use some etymology here for far cry. Why cry? Why cry? Why cry? Zzz. Farcy. F-A-R-C-Y. Noun from the 15th century. The synonym is glanders, and I don't know what glanders is, but especially cutaneous glanders. Just going to pause to let all of us think about that one for a second. Don't know what it is. But we have a little bit of information etymologically from the lower Latin farcimen, which is also just Latin, which means, I guess, sausage. And it also mentions again that Latin word facere or facere, which means to stuff. So a farci is a thing that's stuffed. You're stuffing the meat into the casing, which is really gross. And glanders? Is that another name for a sausage or something? What is this stuff? I don't know. Zzz. Next is fard, F-A-R-D. Transitive verb from the 15th century. Number one, to paint with cosmetics. And the type, though, the thing that you would be painting with cosmetics would be possibly the face. That's usually where the cosmetics go. I have not farted my face. My face did not get farted because I did not put any cosmetics on my face. But a lot of people, they fard their face in the morning. And then at the end, they need to wash off the fartedness. Number two is archaic, and it means to gloss over. We're just gonna skip right over that. We're going to fart it. Do you find this as silly as I do? I think so. Fard is also a noun, but it's archaic. It's an archaic noun. Probably a thing that was glossed over, maybe? Not sure. The etymology is from Old High German faro, which means colored, like you are coloring your face with the paint, I guess. And there's more at the word perch. That's all I got. I don't know how often people are using the verb fard to talk about painting their face with cosmetics, lipstick, blush, eyeliner, eyeshadow, all those things. But we really should be using this one because it sounds so silly. It sounds like so close to another word that we find funny. Did you fard your face this morning? Oh, yes, my face got so farted. Zzz. Fardle. Fardel. F-A-R-D-E-L. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the synonym is bundle, like a bundle of sticks, maybe. Number two, the synonym is burden. A bundle and a burden. It's a fardle. This seems like it should be obsolete or something. This is from, I guess, the Arabic word farda, which means part or bundle. Just a part of a thing, a little bit, a fardel. I have a fardel of pens in that container over there. Zzz. Here we go with the last word. We have two forms, and I think there's no more forms in the next episode. Correct. It's the word fare, F-A-R-E. First form is a verb from before the 12th century. It is just intransitive. Number one, synonyms are go and travel. Go, go travel. Fare, go, fare, fare away. I don't know how to use that in a sentence. Number two, synonyms are get along and succeed, as in, how did you fare on your exam? How did it go? How did you get along? How did that test get along, little doggy? Did you succeed? Was it successful? How did you fare? Number three, the synonyms are eat and dine. We are going to fare on some food at the diner. I think I've heard it as a noun, which is probably going to be the next one. But I don't know if I've heard that one as a verb. Fare. Let's get some fare at the fair. We're going to fare the fair? I don't know. This is from the Old High German faran, which means to go. From the Latin portare, which means to carry. From Greek peron, which means to pass through. Also from poros, which means passage or journey. And that was a lot of interesting stuff. But yes, you go on a journey through a passage. You're passing through the thing. You're maybe carrying your stuff. And you're going. But it became just go and get along and eat and dine. Zzz. The very last word, the second form of the word fare, noun from the 15th century, number 1A. Range of food, and the synonym is diet. What is the hyena's fare? What is their diet? What are the types of food that they eat? That's their fare. They like meat. Number 1B, material provided for use, consumption, or enjoyment. I guess this show is your fare. It's like sustenance for your ears and your eyes and your brains. 2A, the price charged to transport a person. How specific that is. You get on your train. You get on a train, you got to pay the fare. Because the train is transporting a person, and you need to pay money to transport that person. 2B. Backtrack a second. You also need to pay a fare if you're transporting your luggage sometimes. So I don't think you need to call out that it's a person. 2B. A paying passenger on a public conveyance. The person is the fare, I guess, and they pay a fare. Okay. Let's see. Anything else? Yeah, it's just to go. Oh, yeah, journey, passage, supply of food, all that stuff. So you need to carry your food as you're going through the passages on your journey. That's all the stuff for fare. That's it. And now, everybody, it's time to pick a word of the episode. We're going to tell you a word. We're going to tell you a word. It's going to be a really great word. Today we had Farad, Faraday, Faradic, or... No, that's Faradic, or Faradaic. Far and away, Farandol, far and wide. Far away, Farce, Farce, Farsur, Farsi. That's the stuff. Farcical, far cry, farsi, fard, fardle, fair and fair. Ooh, let's see. I don't know. I'll just pick farcical as the word of the episode because it all has to do with just being silly and absurd and ludicrous and weird and smartly funny. I wish I were a little bit more of a better farceur, but farcical. Farcical, 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 being funny, farcical, whatever, that's fine. Okay, now let's see. I'm going to tell you about another movie. Oh, yes, the movie was Roadhouse, the new Roadhouse. Finally watched it, and it's They definitely changed some stuff. It's been a little while since I watched this, so I'm trying to remember. I do remember the fights are very intense. They are very visceral. The camera is moving around a lot. They definitely, you know, highly choreographed, highly skilled people. But I do believe, I could be wrong, but I do believe they utilized some CGI in these fights to get some extreme hits and moves that a human being shouldn't probably go through in a film. But I remember it being very fun. I think it's less campy than the first one, much more kind of realistic. Trying to remember if there's anything else that jumped out at me from what I can remember. And as you know, I have a terrible memory. Different situation. Oh, the thing is that he was an MMA fighter, and that's his background. Yeah. The guy, though, he walks so funny that the guy, one of his nemesises, he just walks like this, and he's so ridiculously cocky. What an interesting guy. And he's a real MMA fighter, I think. But does he always walk like that? Is he always that cocky? I have no idea. Anyway, Roadhouse. It's just some fun, mindless fighting entertainment stuff. I was a little disappointed that they didn't push the whole thing about like be nice as much as you can. I think that I remember that from the first one. They didn't really bring that into this one, and I was thought, well, that was a missed opportunity maybe, but they went a different direction. Anyway, okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show, and until next time, this is Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.